Love endures when lovers love many things together and each other. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with your thought for today. Kind of seductive, perhaps, huh? Love endures when lovers love many things together and each other also. How interesting that is. What is it that lovers should love many things together? What things should lovers love together? Well, each lover should love themselves. They should love themselves and know that they are the creator of their world. And each lover should know that their lover, or beloved, however you want to call it, is an exact replica of who they are. And if they have good qualities about themselves, if they have good attitudes about themselves, if they have good manners, if they have good looks, if they have good genes, good chromosomes, and all the good stuff, their lover does too. Their sweetheart does. But if they don't, then don't go expecting your sweetheart to be any different than you are, any different than your best and your worst. So it is important to get rid of the worst right away. Dispose of the worst by ignoring it, totally ignoring it. Best way to break up a relationship is to ignore it, and pretty soon it doesn't exist anymore. So when you totally ignore it, what are you going to do? You're going to concentrate on the good stuff. You're going to concentrate on what is it that you like about yourself. But this, always this self, always this ego, always this introspective self. Yes, that's true. That's true. But love the Lord thy God with all thy spirit, all thy mind, and all thy soul, and your neighbor like yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy... Love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God. Where is the Lord thy God? Where is the Lord thy God? The Lord thy God is in you. You are God. Now, this is what Jesus was talking about. He said, love yourself and love your neighbors like you love yourself. And how do you do that? Well, when you like yourself because you're thoughtful, considerate, gentle, thoughtful, in every possible way, you're just really a real super person, a super being. And would you enjoy that in someone that you liked? And someone that you wanted to associate with? Of course, the answer is, of course, yes. How do you create that in them? Well, you don't. You create that in yourself. If you are having certain chromosomes, certain DNA, and stuff like that in your body, are you going to give different chromosomes and different DNA to your children? Or are you going to give the same DNA and chromosomes that you have in you? Mm-hmm. Huh? You can only give what you are. All right. Then you get a wife or a husband. And your mate has different chromosomes and different genes and different DNA. And you don't know about it. But in that DNA are meanness and hatred and unhappiness and misery and lack of respect of life and lack of respect of everything. Just get what they want by any means at all. Now, you don't know this. And so the person that you don't know this about wants you. And so they look at how you are and then they act that way. They act just like you are so that you will be attracted to them, so that you will take them in your life. Well, now, you say, that was dirty. No, it wasn't. Because you could not create in your life anything, even hidden badness that you can't see. Because you can see it. You can see everything. Oh, he's sort of, mischievous, you know. He's nonsensical. He's irrational. He's charming. You know, he's all these dumb things. You know, And then later, when he's that way all of his life, you say, I didn't know I was marrying that. You know, I just thought that was just something that he did to make himself amusing in the beginning. No, you didn't. You knew that. You knew that was what that person was. And the twittery bride, always twittering. That's not bad, but it's a lack of self-respect in the woman. Whenever a woman twitters, she has a lack of self-respect. She feels incompetent. She feels that she's not worthy. She's not worthy of having people look on her or talk to her. So she twitters. Now, how many women do you know, and you don't have to work at this too hard, how many women do you know who are outwardly self-confident, who are outwardly beautiful and I don't want to say dominating, but dominant, you know, outwardly take charge girls? Not too many, because they are taught they shouldn't do that. They are taught by their parents they should be the weaker sex, you know, and nothing weak about them or sex. Now, they are not the weaker sex. They are taught this. Now, they're really very tough. They're really going to run the roost. And once you get married, they are going to say, oh, who are you voting for in the election? Oh, you're voting Democratic? Well, I've always thought the Republicans were far superior. You know, the Republicans were the great. And before you know it, you're voting Republican, you know? And you may not really care Democrat or Republican. They're just going to put somebody in. But the thing is, you may have been Democrat all your life, and next thing you know, you're Republican, because this is what she is. Now, she's not doing this out of meanness, but she has always ruled her world. And from the background, gentle, from behind, as they say, which is not a joke, behind every great man, there is a super great woman. Because this great woman has to keep him on the ball, keep him posted, keep him up front, keep him leveled out, keep him harmonious, keep him happy with himself and with his world and with her. And wow, she is a working fool, you know. She is really quite busy with all the things that she has set up for herself to do. Now, wouldn't it be much easier if she just loved someone who was like herself? There'd be a little competition there, but if she loved someone who's just like herself, would you say perhaps there was no competition because the two work so well together? Mm-hmm. They work like a team? Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy, and we say, oh, Nancy was a schemer and conniver and a pusher. Well, Ronald Reagan was no wimp himself, you know. I mean, he went out there and did things that were angels fear to tread. And Nancy was behind him saying, go for it, baby, you know. Mm-hmm. And Nancy would have done a lot of things herself, too. I think Nancy would have made a superior president. Because if she had turned all of that support for Ronald into support for herself, she would have been, wow, what a great person. I mean, she would have known everything about everything. She's like Katerina, you know, she's got to have her nose into everything to know everything and how it works. And like other people too, you know. They have to know everything that's going on. And theoretically, they should be able to run the organization or run whatever it is they got their nose in very well. But they lack one thing. And that one thing is perhaps the self-esteem. The belief that they really are okay. They really are good. Because basically what they're doing this for is because they don't believe they're good. They don't believe that they're top drawer. And because they don't believe they're top drawer, they don't act like that. They act through other people. There are always these, look, you know, it amuses me. People say, I have just made $1 billion in real estate. And I'm so successful, I want to teach you my program. Well, all right. How can you teach us your program? Can you give us your DNA, your genes? Can you give us your background, your personality? Yeah. Can you give us all of these things that made you what you are? No way. How then can we do the same thing that you did when we don't have the same things to work with? But you do. You have this and this. That's all outer. What made you a millionaire was not the outer. It was the inner. Because there are lots of people who do those things in the outer, and they're not successful because they don't have it in the inner. But those people who have it in the inner, they're masters. They're great winners in every sense of the word, and they always win. So, you see, love endures when lovers love many things together, including each other. Now, how could we have our love endure? Now, what do you love? What do you want out of life? Do you want to have a lover? Do you want to have someone that you want to get married to or have a relationship with? Do you want to have someone who understands you? Oh, understands you. So many women and husbands, go and say, my wife doesn't understand me. My husband doesn't understand me, you know. I understand you, baby. There'll always be somebody who come along manipulating for his own or her own devices, you know. But be careful. We don't need to be understood. All we want to do is be ourselves and have fun. And when we are ourselves and have fun, then we love everything. You see, I told you about this young man who wrote, and he was real surprised when I told him that I wasn't his friend. And he couldn't understand how I didn't love him, because he had loved me all these years and respected me and admired everything I did. And I admired him too, because he did a lot of good stuff too. And then when he came to visit, he says, well, Herb, here we are. We've been friends a long time. And I said, no, we've never been friends. What? I said, I love you unconditionally. I said, I love you greater than anyone could love a friend, because I place no limitations on you. I place no reservations on you. I place no demands on you for my personal enjoyment, you know. You've got to be my friend. You've got to have your house open to me whenever I need to come over and harangue about something, you know, and what have you. You know, and that's not true. That's not true. When you love someone unconditionally, you would never think of taking advantage of their good nature, you know. When you love someone unconditionally, you would never ask them for a favor. When you love someone unconditionally, they would know what you need before you even ask, you know. They know exactly what you need before you even ask. And they're always there. You know, you think about a friend, what happens? They call you. You think about your kids, they write you a letter. I was thinking of Mark the other day. I was thinking, well, I wonder how everything's going with his projects. And he called up. He called me. He very seldom called me. And when he called, he told me all about his projects. And I said, hey, that is wonderful. That is cool. And we came to the end of the conversation. I said, well, next time you got some new news, let me know. Nothing different here, you know. And bye. I love you. I didn't sit on the phone, because I have to sit on the phone and love my son and talk to my son and make him feel good and talk nothings. You know, he's busy and I'm busy. We have lots of things in life besides nothings to talk about. And I'm proud of him, and he's proud of me. And that's a very nice way to have it be. But this is unconditional love. This is, you see, if you love a person as your son or your daughter or relative or something, then you love them as that title. But if you love them unconditionally, your love transcends any relationship, physical, mental, social, spiritual. It transcends any reason for you being together except to be yourselves and have fun. And this really is what we should train our families in, train our children in, train our world in, that the unconditional love, so beautiful. Love endures when lovers love many things together. Yeah. When lovers love many things together. And what's the first thing that lovers should love together? First, they love themselves. And you see, that's what they forget. They forget that's the first thing to love. If you love yourself, you're going to be a great person. If you love yourself, you're going to be fun to be with. If you love yourself, you got it made. Think on these things. They're a lot of fun. Have a wonderful day and run with this thought all the way. I love you. I love you. I love you.